Petaluma, California.
KPCALP.
I showcase the best of contemporary artists and give you a break from the common dad rock that rules the airwaves. Sit back and witness an hour of brand new tunes.
KPCALP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM.
I just felt like being negative for some weird reason.
Your mic is on.
I know. Are we on?
We're on.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. And
good morning. I'm feeling positive now.
Welcome to another edition of Inside Petaluma.
I'm so excited. I'm absolutely just enthralled.
I'm Cindy Thomas. I'm co-hosting with Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson, who have already made their appearance here. Hello. Why am I picking you up?
Maybe her mic's on. Not through the mic. A little temp. We have a technical issue.
We have a technical issue.
But we're going to solve it.
Your mic is not on.
Let's see, plug in.
Welcome to the world of amateur radio, everybody.
And yeah, we're not getting paid for this, so. Well, what do you expect it to work all the time? We're having some fun.
Jeff?
Oh, we're calling for backups now. Getting serious. The big guns are here.
Okay. Her mic is not working. Hello, everybody.
We're troubleshooting.
But happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday. It's amazing, you know, the microphone technology has not really changed.
Now.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, I can feel it now.
There we go. Thank you.
What was it? Was it the buzzer?
It was operator error.
All right.
I get it. It was me.
No problem.
Okay. Well, that was 5 minutes.
Well, if you're listening, hello.
Now that everybody's thoroughly
you never know what
you
don't have on this show.
Yeah, and guess what? You can make radio just like we did. Become a member of KPCA, and you can have your own radio show.
That's exactly right.
And you can do this, too.
Yes.
Anyway, happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Hello. Yeah.
So, good morning, Petaluma.
Good morning, Petaluma. We have a guest today, so we're going to get right to it. We have Terry Fugit with Daily X with us. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Happy to have you.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much. And so, Terry, you're with Daily X. Tell us, how long have you been with Daily X?
I've been with Daily X about a year. And in Petaluma about 3 years, born and raised in Sonoma County, in Sebastopol and Runner Park.
Okay, so you're a North Bay girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excited to be back in town and working with an amazing organization and here in Petaluma. It's been great.
Okay, good. So, what's going on at Daily X these days?
Well,
and what is Daily X?
Exactly.
Get an
intro for the
Okay. History.
Yeah. Daily X has been around for 17 years and worked to inspire transformative action to build climate resilient and connected communities. And we do a lot of work around landscape transformation to reduce our use of water, grow habitat, and sequester carbon. We do this through educational workshops, mobilizations, and leadership development. We train tools around reducing our water use by using gray water or rainwater catchments, installing permaculture-inspired landscapes, building habitat, sequestering carbon, and creating places for people to gather and connect and build community through landscape. We believe you can change the world through a garden.
Great. And this is a Petaluma-based organization, correct?
We are based in Petaluma. Okay. We work all around Sonoma County.
That's very cool.
Okay. Yeah. Also all around the county. Great. Yeah.
Just so our listeners are clear, when you talk about carbon sequestration,
yes.
You're talking about?
We're talking about actually pulling carbon out of the atmosphere and building soil by capturing carbon in the soil. So it's actually an amazingly potent tool to reverse climate change, especially on the large agricultural scale. So we're bringing that knowledge and skill set into the urban setting to help people understand that even through their garden, they can actually pull carbon out of the atmosphere and store it in the soil. It's like a giant carbon sink, our soil. The capacity of our soil to store carbon is amazing.
Yeah, because we had all this captured carbon, of course, with fossil fuel use and everything else, we're releasing it back into the atmosphere, and we got to capture that back. In fact, I was just looking online, and we're now at 413.52 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere. That's pretty alarming.
Yeah, we have to do everything we can to not only slow climate change, we're beyond that now. We
right.
have to reverse it.
Reverse.
If you're familiar with the book by Paul Hawken, Draw Down, yeah. We need to draw down carbon out of the atmosphere and change the trend entirely.
Yes.
So we're working to do that, and there's lots of actions that everybody can do to be a part of that solution.
One thing I'm trying to do less of is exhaling. You know, if I can exhale less carbon. Oh, sorry.
Very funny, Jason. Well, you know, years ago, I mean, Jerry and I, we were going through these old pictures. And so we had a lawn in the front, we had the lawns in the back when the kids were little, you know, swing sets. And then we redid everything probably about 15 years ago. Well, actually, probably about 20 years ago. And, you know, just put in a drip system, and then we had, you know, flowers, you know, beautiful garden, and then we started with the vegetable garden. So we use our front yard for our tomatoes, and the backyard is, you know, for other products. But we're always having to replenish the soil, you know, and so this year, you know, we really had to put a lot back in because it was being depleted.
Yeah, it's all about nutrient cycling. Like when we... Yeah. You know, food waste is one of the top three contributors to climate change, and we waste about 40% to 50% of our food nationally. And all of that food could be going into building compost because we actually need a lot of compost to build soil and sequester carbon. So there's an amazing, like, closed loop potential there to reduce food waste, reduce the methane that comes from food waste, and actually use that to build soil that sequesters carbon and conveniently creates amazing gardening capabilities for us in our front yard.
So what's happening with the county and the recycling of food waste?
Well, that's a whole nother topic.
Right.
There is an amazing collaboration coming together that is working to localize our composting infrastructure again, and they're making a lot of progress. And should hopefully have something up and running in the next few years. So definitely has been a lot of work to relocalize our food management systems,
right.
And really excited to get that back local.
Yeah, well, I think in the meantime, you know, we kind of quit doing the composting because of rats and, you know, coming into the yard. And so I think I'm going to get one of those that are self-contained and start going back into, recycling our own products that we waste.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I keep, you know, we keep buying this new soil and, you know, new nutrients when we could actually produce it ourselves. But you have to be a little bit smarter than, you know, years ago, what the city did was we had composters and everybody got a composter, you know, everybody got one if they requested one, but they were just open. And I think that was part of the problem why we started having so many rodents besides, you know, development also causes that.
Yeah.
But there's a real problem. I don't think it's just the river. I think part of it was the composting. So I think it's really something that people can do more in their own yards, but I think they need to use better composters. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of solutions there, and we do have the green bin now as well. And right now it gets hauled out of county, but it's better than nothing. Definitely important to not throw away food waste. And we can also increase our raptor populations by putting bird boxes in,
yes.
which will help eat the rats.
Right.
So there
That's
are ecological
right.
solutions, too, that help build build our species diversity and help take care of those challenges.
Right.
Yeah, people should not use rat poison because then
Definitely
those raptors
not.
Absolutely not.
Get impacted.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
We have a lot of raptors in our neighborhood, and unfortunately, our neighbors just cut down like these bushes that have been overgrown for years, And we had so many hummingbirds and all kinds and raptors, and they're just not there right now. And it was really a surprise, you know, because we had probably 5-6 hummingbirds a day, you know, that were like our friends. And they're not around ever since they were cut down. So,
got to put out a feeder.
We do have feeders, but
and
they're just
they
gone.
Still disappeared.
They just disappeared.
Well, I think
this
is really, I mean, this feeds in so well to the topic I wanted to share today is the Sonoma Climate Challenge. Is like there's a wealth of actions that we can take that make really big impacts. Like you don't really think twice about cutting down a bush, but that's destroying habitat for a ton of species
exactly.
that are actually beneficial for our garden and our ecosystem. So there's so many very simple and easy to implement actions that have huge impacts for ultimately our climate and most immediately water use, energy use, and building community too. So really excited about this challenge coming up.
That's really good. I mean, this is the first year I've seen a lot of bees back in our yard, and which was we feel really positive about that. But the last few years, we have just been kind of depleted.
Well, big thing is driving, of course. I was looking at some information from Project Drawdown, and apparently if just 16% of the miles we drive were traveled in an electric-powered vehicle instead of a gas-powered one, it could keep 10 gigatons of carbon emissions out of the air. That's pretty significant.
Yeah,
and if you want more awesome actions that have big impact.
Don't drive at all.
Well, we do have a fabulous public transportation system, which more use will definitely help support that.
Yeah.
And carpooling is huge,
exactly.
too. And that builds community and builds relationships. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about the challenge, the climate challenge. So this, for those of you who are longtime Daily Axe fans, you're probably familiar with the Community Resilience Challenge, which we started 10 years ago with a challenge to plant 350 gardens in a weekend. And what happened was we actually planted 628 in one weekend and really came together and it was 200 times the original goal by the end of the 9 years of challenges. So basically, we came together with this challenge, we nearly doubled it, and realized that the power of community is enormous when we all work together. And so we formed the Community Resilience Challenge, and over the last 9 years, over 80,000 resilience actions from reducing water use, reducing energy use, reducing food and waste, building community. Over 80,000 actions have been registered locally, regionally, and nationally. It's grown that huge from an idea of a little seed here in Petaluma.
Wow.
So the power of community is really amazing. And now we're facing climate crisis more front and center than ever before. And the extreme weather patterns and the collapsing populations of different species, and we realized we just really need to up our game. So the 10-year anniversary of the Community Resilience Challenge has become, in partnership with the Regional Climate Protection Authority, the Sonoma Climate Challenge, which is really exciting. We've doubled the number of actions available and have a whole new website that is an amazing resource filled with actions you can take, including renter-friendly actions, and each action has steps and information about how to complete it, as well as local resources that are customized to your city for how to save money and get support for completing those actions. There's easy, medium, hard ones. You can filter. You can make teams and community groups, and it really builds community around it, too, because we've got leaderboards that show all the different actions, you know, the cumulative impact of all different actions teams and community groups have made. And our goal collectively this year, Daily Axe is known for some pretty ambitious goals and then blowing them out of the water. So this year's goal is reducing our emissions by 500 tons of carbon by the end of this year. And we're going to need everybody's help to do that. Our goal is to have 500 households sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And if 500 households sign up and reduce their emissions by only 10%, we'll hit that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the equivalent of 588 acres of forest sequestering carbon over the course of 1 year. So we can have that big an impact by the end of this year by working together. And the actions are super fun, too. They're really educational. They're really fun. They build community. And there's so many to pick from. So really excited by this challenge. The website is SonomaClimateChallenge.org. And the Regional Climate Protection Authority has really backboned this and gotten it started, and we're really grateful for them and their leadership in getting this going and seeing the crisis that needs to be addressed and moving towards that. And it's a really, really exciting partnership, exciting challenge, and an audacious goal that we really hope everyone will help us not only hit, but far, far surpass.
So with this challenge, what exactly will a household need to do to make the 10% reduction?
Yeah, so the first thing you do is you log on and sign up your household, and you fill out your energy profile, which provides you a baseline of what your current energy use is. And that's really important because this website is incredibly well designed in terms of giving you real-time data in terms of how much money you're saving, energy you're saving, gas, natural gas you're saving, emissions you're reducing, and that's all calculated off of that energy profile that you set up when you first log on. And then we encourage folks to join or form a community group or team. So that can be, the radio station could have their own community group. Mm-hmm. Your school can form a team, that sort of thing. And then you just look at the different actions. So there are 67 actions, and they can range from, as Jana said, pulling out your lawn and putting in a water-wise landscape, to energy reductions, as simple as changing your light bulbs. There's still a lot of folks who could do that, to the larger ones of installing solar. There's also a filter for renter-friendly actions, which is really important.
The LEDs have come a long way. We replaced all of our incandescent lamps in our kitchen with these nice LEDs that fit right in those little, what do they call those little inset hole things?
Right, but receptacle.
Yeah, well, there's another term for it. But anyway, can't remember it. I'm not a lighting guy. But it's amazing the things that you can do. I was curious, though, when it's analyzing that, is it taking into account specifically where someone is located and how they get power? Because in our case, I know a lot of our power comes from geothermal. That would be a different impact.
It is, and soon there will be a way to plug into your actual PG&E account, and it actually pulls your utility data. But it is all customized for our geographic region and our energy sources.
That's great.
And we're actually one of 24 total jurisdictions nationwide who are using the same challenge platform to reduce their climate impact, ranging from Kauai to Charlottesville. And Charlottesville is actually leading the way right now among the 24 different jurisdictions. And we've got collaborations with them, too. It's amazing because we're all using this shared platform that's customized for our local area. And the numbers and calculations are customized for our local costs. But we're able to share what's working, what's not. Contra Costa is doing it, Menlo Park, Fremont, Charlottesville, like I mentioned, somewhere in Utah as well. Like it's really exciting, and really hoping that Sonoma County can help show how impactful we can be through this tool and be able to continue it year after year.
So where do people sign up? How do you sign up?
Yeah, SonomaClimateChallenge.org. And you can see the actions there right on the homepage. Then you just sign up your household. It's pretty easy. And going through the energy profile is really interesting. And then if you are really stoked and want to form a team or community group, again, that's a really important part of this tool. We're going to have resources available, PowerPoints, tip sheets, slideshows, so that if you wanted to have a get-together, host a house party, or on your team meeting, or kind of a different gathering of sorts, we can provide you the resources, and we might even be able to come help do the presentation to kind of orient people to the challenge and get people really excited, because that's one of the most important parts of this platform is the team and community group element, so that people really feel like they're part of something larger than themselves and working with folks they already know and can encourage themselves. You can chat within the platform and do comments and do thumbs up and encourage people and ask questions on different actions and really like get the support you need to move up from replacing an LED to those larger kind of installing gray water systems, that sort of thing.
That's something that we're looking into because we've done a lot, but that's a big one that's missing.
I mean, that's something that could be happening at the code level, it seems like, for new developments. when they build new housing, and they could actually require that. I don't know if we're already looking at that in
Petaluma.
Well,
same with solar, exactly.
Yeah,
my home is solar, so what can I do?
Do you have gray water yet?
No.
Do you know what gray water is? I can explain that
to you. You can explain that. I know what it is, but I'd like to hear.
Our listening audience may know.
Yeah, so our washing machines, for example, if you use eco-friendly soaps, you can actually have that water go straight to your garden. It doesn't have to go into our sewer system, which has a big carbon impact just moving that water around. Mm-hmm. And so by keeping that in a local system of your laundry to your garden, it is a huge climate impact from a carbon perspective, but also water. And you can grow your beautiful garden with the water from your washing machine. And so we actually have an installation demonstration or on hand, hands-on installation on June 8th at Daily Access Hosting from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Petaluma. On our website, you can sign up, and we're going to be putting in a gray water system, and you can learn all about how to do it, ask as many questions as you want, actually do it yourself, and then go home, and you'll have everything you need to do it at your own home.
Huh. Since you mentioned laundry, another big one, I just got back from Europe, and one thing I always notice when I go there, you don't see people with a lot of dryers. They tend to hang their clothes, and I've asked why, and they typically say, well, it's really expensive. The energy costs are prohibitively expensive, and it's bad for the planet. It's like, oh, yeah. So not using a dryer, going to just drying your stuff on a line, I guess, is a...
That's a huge
better
one.
Way to go.
That's one of our actions, and if you start doing that, you'll get points for your team.
Ooh, I love points.
So how about, like community parks, putting in gardens?
Absolutely. So speaking of parks, we have a sheep mulching spectacular event in Katadi at Pocket Park on May 25th.
Sheep mulching.
So this is the first step in removing your lawn. Again, in building soil and getting out those lawns, you can just do sheet mulching on top. If you rip out the lawn, you actually lose that whole top layer of topsoil and those nutrients. So you can just sheet mulch right on top of the lawn, and that's the first step to the next kind of building the landscape. So you can learn kind of tips and tools for sheet mulching at our event on May 25th. And we're also going to be doing a large landscape installation June or July for the Strauss Creamery landscape, and we're going to start that with sheet mulching as well. So
is there a new plant in Rohnert Park or in Petaluma?
In Petaluma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's a fun workshop to come out to, build community, get to know folks, and learn that first step for transitioning your lawn from thirsty, water guzzling to habitat creating.
And, in Strauss, they are such a role model,
mm-hmm.
For how agriculture can be carbon friendly.
Yeah, agriculture has a huge potential for helping address climate change.
Right.
It's also one of the biggest contributors to it, which means it has the biggest potential for changing. And that's building into this climate challenge as well. About 40% of emissions, 35 to 40%, are from the household level. It's our consumption-based emissions and what we're buying, what we're doing, and how we're drying our clothes. And so in one sense, it's like, oh, my God, that's a big impact. On the other sense, that's like, that's a huge impact we can have as individuals when we change our behavior. That's 40% of emissions that we can directly impact in our circle of influence today. And I find that incredibly empowering. It's like, wow, this is overwhelming, but look at all these things that I can do, and it will have a big impact.
And apparently there's some good news, and that is that more people now accept the reality of human-caused climate change. And so obviously you have to understand and believe that in order to have an interest in making some change to your behavior. But it's apparently 13% still don't believe humans are responsible, and 5% don't believe it's happening at all. So that's 58 million individuals in the U.S. who are in denial of reality. And I always wonder, it's like, it's great, we've got to focus on the people that can accept reality, but any tips for dealing with those who don't?
Don't even mention it.
Exactly.
Honestly, I know an organization that their name, they work around extreme weather events.
Uh-huh.
They do not talk about climate at all.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, that's their main thing, but they don't mention it because it triggers folks.
Interesting.
So we can offer the same solutions and invite people into this community through the landscape. I mean, right. if you transition from a bland lawn into a park with this edible landscape like the pool in the library, you don't even have to mention climate. People will be brought in because it's a really healing, calming place to be. To
focus on the benefits. Also, the cost savings, of course, that people get when they save energy is a good thing.
Absolutely.
But you always run into these people like, I will not compromise my lifestyle. And what do you do with these people?
It's sad because it's really not compromising your lifestyle. It's just enhancing your lifestyle.
Well, what I mean is I want to drive my SUV anywhere I want, anytime. I mean, this was a big argument I remember Dick Cheney had back in the day when he said, no, we shouldn't be doing anything about emission standards and mileage standards for cars because that would be compromising the American way of life. But it's like we're all going to die if we don't fix this. So
the Daily Act mentality is... be the change you want to see through your daily actions. And so we recognize that there are different perspectives out there, and the more we embody the culture and values we want to see, even having compassion and respect for people we disagree with, that builds the relationships that ultimately will bring a sense of understanding, class difference, but it really starts with us and how we show up in the world.
That's right. Lead by example.
Exactly.
Yep.
And vote.
And vote, exactly.
That's a big one.
And that's a big part of actually one of our other programs at Daily Acts, the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities, which for folks who've been in the area a long time, used to be the Leadership Institute for Ecology and the Economy, which started in 2000, and has over 500 graduates from this 10-month course.
I'm one of those.
which is awesome.
Yes.
Love that. Myself as well.
Which I have not, and I think maybe I will sign up.
Well, applications close in 2 weeks.
Two weeks, really?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. It's an amazing program. It joined Daily Acts. It came under the stewardship of Daily Acts last year. We're just completing our first year under Daily Acts, and entering the 18th year of the program overall. But it really speaks to leadership from the inside out, and building those relationships and self-awareness and sense of purpose and clarity of purpose, so that we can embody the change we want to see, strengthen our capacity for civic engagement, and practice tools of collective leadership and collaboration and shared leadership. So it's a 10-month program. Folks meet once a month for a full day on the first Friday of the month, about 24 folks in the class across government, business, nonprofit. And the whole idea is let's build relationships cross sector, cross industry, and really get down to values-aligned relationships and realize that we're all working towards healthy, just, and sustainable communities for all. And so how can we work more collaboratively towards that?
Well, it seems like in this community as an example, just the $15 an hour wage, all the cities are kind of collaborating together, and it seems like we're going in a positive direction. In Petaluma, the business community decided to stay neutral on it, which was a good thing.
Yeah, and we had businesses actually for it as well. I was at that city council meeting, and they were proactively saying this is really important. And my friend is managing that campaign countywide for North Bay Jobs with Justice, and Petaluma is really leading the way in this conversation, as well as with the climate resolution, which I know you had on last week, that we're the first in the county to pass that. And it's really, pretty exciting how much Petaluma is doing to lead and champion these issues and be that role model for the rest of the county. It's really invigorating.
Well, last week, we had Pete Gang and Ann talking about, the climate change
resolution.
And the resolution. And, it was really good to explain to people because, when people just hear a climate change resolution, I think the majority of people really don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about looking at your development and making decisions on what is the impacts.
Mm-hmm.
And, because what we're seeing now, the impacts of 25 years of development without looking at the impacts. The impacts are now here.
Yeah, and it's about the impacts on people and planet.
Exactly.
And that's, that was covered in the Green New Deal on Wednesday's event. And I think that's really important. That's central to our kind of group, the Climate Action Petaluma, who helped encourage the passing of that resolution. But what is the impact on people? How is sprawl making public transportation really hard to implement and therefore hard to use? And there's a lot of energy and an understanding of the importance of centering folks who have been traditionally underrepresented in these conversations and making sure that their perspective is heard as we design solutions moving forward, that their perspective is front and center.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the new Green Deal?
I can touch a little bit on it.
Yes.
Definitely an exciting force coming through our political system, it really focuses on the importance of people and planet, and highlighting the fact that the original New Deal was stemmed from the fact that our agricultural industry didn't prepare protect our soil, mm-hmm. and we had the Dust Bowl, but a lot of the benefits from the original New Deal did not offer support to folks of color and disadvantaged communities, and so it was a big miss. So this is about having the infrastructure funded to address climate change, mm-hmm. but centering the voices of indigenous communities, folks of color, underrepresented folks in that process. So it's not just what we have to do, it's how we're going to do it, and creating green jobs and creating good paying, dignified jobs that support a low carbon lifestyle.
Okay. Were you there, Janice?
I was not because I had a conflict. We had the Democratic meetings, the Southern Democratic meeting.
Well,
it was Marty Bennett was there.
Great event.
Yeah.
We had over 300 folks turn out on a rainy night.
Oh, that's great.
And the youth led the conversation, the Sunrise Movement. We had a number of youth from Petaluma, and they started us off, and they really set an amazing tone and really reiterated the importance of taking action, because they're the ones who are going to be feeling it the hardest.
Are you going to have more of these in each city?
So we joined. We were not part of the organizing team on this.
Right.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen next.
Okay.
Is it
through Conservation Action? Or?
Yeah, Sonoma County Conservation Action and Sunrise and 350 Sonoma, North Bay Jobs of Justice, Community Alliance for Family Farmers. It was a collaboration of a lot of different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely need to keep the momentum moving in each city. And they did kind of cluster everybody by city afterwards with a list of recommended policies that folks could advocate for.
That's great. That was a good turnout.
It was a great turnout.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the age,
All ages.
All ages.
All ages. There was childcare, so there were folks drawing in the corner. A lot of high school students.
Huh.
All the way up to whatever.
80s, 90s.
So
yeah.
It was all
You know, ages. What we're finding is, even with the Democratic, club in Petaluma, to bring younger people in, we feel like we need to have daycare or, childcare. Because it's really hard for, parents to come out at night
mm-hmm.
and not have child care. And, so we're exploring that to figure out how we can bring younger people in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also they offered translations.
Right.
So that was important
right.
as well.
Exactly.
And having it in the evenings, not during work hours. And there was, food available for purchase, but still available. And so,
right.
Making it accessible for folks and... Yeah, it was great.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, we need more young people.
Well, that's a big problem.
they're the ones that are going to be impacted more than us. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So, what else is on your agenda?
Well, I definitely really excited about the Sonoma Climate Challenge, and for the Leadership Institute, I touched on that a little bit, but we are accepting applications for our next class up through June 2nd. The class starts in September and goes through next June, and would encourage anybody who's looking to kind of amplify their impact as a leader to grow a network of values-aligned community members and connections across the county, and to really understand different levers for systems change. So check out the website, and you can see who's in our class right now. You can see some past fellows, and you can see past speakers. So definitely check that out and get applications in by June 2nd. And then I mentioned a few of our events, but we, as Daily Acts, do about 100 to 120 events a year. So we are very active in providing opportunities for a community to connect and learn skills. And so encourage folks to check out the events on our website. Our website is dailyacts.org. Every action has an impact. And I mentioned a few of the ones coming up this month, and in June, the Greywater installation will be really cool. And we are always updating with new events, and if you sign up for our newsletter, we pack that full of our events, but then also community events, community job postings. It's kind of like a community calendar of all the things going on and all the opportunities that we send at the beginning of each month. So it's
in the county.
In the county.
And then I'm looking at your website here, Monthly Garden Days. Tell us about that.
So we have a number of gardens that we kind of help maintain. So at the Kavanaugh Center, for example, to mentor me. So that's an opportunity to come out and learn from our team different gardening techniques and also give back to community by helping maintain those shared spaces. So, yeah.
And it looks like here at the Kavanaugh Center, it's the second Saturday every month. Oh, every other month starting in January, so it's 10 to 12 p.m. And you can go on the website and get more information on that.
Yeah, thank you for highlighting that one. That one's a great one to just come out, and it's kind of like office hours for landscape.
And get your practice on.
Exactly, and give back to the community at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I just light up.
Awesome.
It only took like 30 seconds.
For the challenge?
No, I just signed up for the subscription right now.
Oh, the newsletter.
The challenge is going to be next.
Awesome. Yeah. Lots of ways.
How simple that is.
Yeah.
Anyone can do that.
We're all about low-cost, low-tech, people-powered solutions that have a big impact.
Well, I just bought a new laptop, and what I found is the new Apple products are all throwaways. And so this one was actually refurbished, and I took my old, desktop in, had that completely refurbished. So you really don't need to buy new products. And I think people need to really realize that, Apple is really becoming just throwaway products, and it's not where we need to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of great resources in Sonoma County for sharing, tool lending libraries, hours, time banking is another tool. We really need to localize our economic system and build more shared regenerative systems that build relationships and kind of centralize build community around our actions, too. So
it seems like there's, when you're trying to save water and electricity, the real estate board doesn't seem to be on board as the realtors. And it would be really nice if they were because, we could change toilets over. I mean, there's, water faucets that need to be turned over, changed.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just so much that needs to be done. It's really great that so many people are becoming more active, and it would be great if we could bring that group on board.
Well, maybe we should have them on the show.
I think we should. Okay. As a matter of fact,
I've got that on my list now.
Yeah.
I just wanted to quickly add that Apple does have a recycling program. So when you said throw away, obviously you're not supposed to throw them away.
You can't take this apart and rebuild it. The new ones.
You can, but it's.
Okay, that's another story. I just went through this.
We'll have Dr. Mack on sometime.
Oh, that would be good. I like that.
Anyway, getting back to Carrie, I want to thank you for being here today. I learned a few things myself, and I hope the listeners did too. And please do come back again.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy to converse, and I appreciate the questions. If anybody has any questions about the Sonoma Climate Challenge or the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities or any of our events, definitely check out our website, dailyacts.org.
We will put a link on our website, right, Jason?
Yes, absolutely. Dailyacts.org.
Yeah.
Awesome. And my email's on there as well.
It's ACT, not ACTS.
Daily Acts.
I don't know where we'd go if I did Daily Acts. Check that out.
I hope to see everybody who's listening at one of our future events and signed up on that challenge platform and taking action.
Great.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks,
Carrie.
Thanks again, Carrie.
Always good to see you.
All right.
And thanks for all you do for Sonoma County.
Exactly.
And actually, it's bigger than Sonoma County, what you've done. So
thank you. Here's in the hopper, not hugely announced at all yet, but the community engagement fair that we were a part of 3 years ago, over 4,000 people at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds. We are scheming to do another one next January. So
That's great. Stay tuned.
We're amplifying impact and mobilizing thousands.
Okay, well, let us know and we'll announce it here.
Thank you very much. I will.
All right, thanks Carrie.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Take care.
So, that was interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Right in our own backyard.
I contacted Daily X when I took my lawn out. So they do a lot of cool stuff.
And it's critically important that, you know, taking action and staying positive, because I think, you know, sometimes people just have this sense that there's nothing we can do, so why bother? You know, we're destroying the planet, we can't fix it, so I'm just going to go down in flames. And that's just not a healthy way to respond.
Good luck,
I think there are so many things that people can do, and you just really don't know what to do. And, you know, because you drive around this town, there are a lot of lawns in this town.
And the reality is lifestyles have to change. You know, we've been accustomed to consuming in ways that we no longer can really sustain. We can't do that.
You know, what really irks me is the McDowell Extension when you go south, the South McDowell Extension, and you see all these big industrial buildings with these lawns, and it's pouring rain outside, and you can see their sprinklers going, and it's going down
the
drain.
Exactly. Crazy.
What the hell?
Well, I think that the city needs to actually monitor this more.
Yeah.
You know, somebody needs to be monitoring it, because they're certainly not monitoring that.
I have this problem even with my neighbors, and I hate to tell on them or anything, but it's so annoying, because they'll just let their sprinklers going even when it's been raining. It's like it's just on an auto, because they have it just on autopilot and they don't adjust it. And I mean, that's another thing, is that they have newer systems now that can tell, even if you've got it on auto mode, it can compensate if it's raining. So it'll know that it doesn't need to do its normal cycle.
They tell how much moisture's in the
soil. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, and in fact, there's a company in Petaluma that does that. Actually, I think it's Hydropoint. It might be called.
Okay.
There's actually, we have a lot of good green businesses in here that are part of the solution. It's all great stuff. It's all kind of going at the edges. But fortunately, what no one really wants to face is it's going to be. I mean, we're going to have to do some really extreme changes. I think it's going to be like rationing. It's going to be mandatory no drive zones. It's going to be this is part of the issues I think people don't really want to face.
I think it's going to be very hard to have, you know, to expect people to make those major changes.
Well, that's why they won't. That's why, unfortunately, as much as I'm not a fan of autocratic systems, it does make that process simpler, because you just say, sorry, can't drive anymore. We're taking away your car. Now, this is what a lot of the right wing has used to diss the Green New Deal, saying, they're not going to let you fly to Hawaii, they're not going to let you do all these things, which is not really in the Green New Deal. It just says that we need to be looking at more sustainable ways of moving people.
Well, I think if you read that's exactly
what it's doing. Yeah, if you actually read it.
And the implementation is a whole different ballgame. It's not going to be easy to implement, but if you really read it, it's suggesting, and that's really what it is. Yeah.
Well,
and
getting people to read it is going to be a chore in itself.
It's 14 pages. It's pretty simple reading, and there's like little captions in there that you can read. You know, it's like bullet points, and you know, this is, you know, the goal. I think people are afraid, because they feel like this is the direction we're going. They're taking our cars away. Yeah. We're, you know, and if you really read it, it's really dealing with infrastructure. It's social issues as far as making Flint, Michigan, yeah. making yeah. sure that people have clean water.
Yeah. Well, plus, it says green. People all of a sudden, you say green to them, and they just throw their hands up and say, you know, I'm doing everything I can.
Yeah.
What about the Smart New Deal? You know, what if you called it something like that? I don't know.
It's amazing, though. Wording is everything.
I just saw
Vice. I don't know if you've seen the movie yet.
No.
It's about Dick Cheney and the Bush administration.
Oh, right.
I saw that on a plane. Damn, I was flying. And it was interesting because there's a... I'm trying to think of the guy. Luntz? Fred Luntz? Or I'm trying to remember. He's a conservative... PR guy, and he was, I guess, part of the Bush administration in some way. But they would focus group certain phrases, and I didn't realize this, and I want to double check it because this is what I just saw in the movie, which is, you know, purported to be true, that they came up with the phrase climate change because it sounded less dire than global warming.
Yeah.
Now, I had thought that the reason we started calling it climate change rather than global warming is because people confuse weather with the overall warming cycle. So it's like, well, in certain places it's getting colder. How can you call it, you know, global warming? It's climate change. That's what I thought it came from. But at least how it was portrayed in this movie, it was actually a focus group tested thing that made people feel less fearful of it if it was called climate change
right.
as opposed to global warming. Language is a big deal.
Language, it's a big, you know, my daughter's been reading about the Contra affair mm-hmm. and really getting into depth through reading this great
book
on
that
it.
Well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, young people need to start reading this.
History, yeah.
And really watching, you know, from, you know, Ronald Reagan mm-hmm. to the Bushes mm-hmm. and...
Oliver North.
Really watch what these, they did to make so many major changes in our country
mm-hmm.
and to divide this country.
Yep.
And every single time what we're doing, right, again, we're looking at going into a war. We're coming
yeah.
up with fake reasons
yeah.
why we have to go into a war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really frightening. And I really urge people to really read up on the Contra affair because it's amazing who was involved, who was selling arms to who
mm-hmm.
and who the United States collaborated with to sell arms.
And then Oliver North was like, what was he, CEO of the NRA up until
a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was booted out.
He should have gone to jail.
Yeah. But I think that history really matters. And, you know, as we move forward, you know, people are not learning history for students. And I think we need to...
Well, that's what they say. If you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Well,
know?
And that's what's happened. This is what's happening again.
Well, I felt that as I was in Germany, because what we see happening here in the U.S. Is pretty frightening in terms
pretty
of
frightening.
The amount of executive power that is undermining our system of checks and balances. And it's incredibly disturbing, but unfortunately, it's almost like there's so many disturbing things happening. It's just this wash of chaos, and a lot of people are numb to it, and they don't know how to respond. But I said jokingly to a colleague, it's like, you know, maybe I'll vote absentee, and then I'll fly to Europe, and I'll wait and see what happens. Because there is a real concern among a lot of people. In fact, Lawrence Tribe just had a piece about this. We're not sure that Trump will actually step down if he loses.
That's what people are saying.
And we don't have any.
How could that be?
Well, we don't really have any precedent for that. We've always had presidents that just played by the rules.
Right.
And
is he going to squat in the White House?
Well, it would be very.
Change rule.
What it would come down to is where does the military go? You know,
that's where it is. It's the military,
and some of them are
right.
You know, it's split. Some of them are going to be pro-Trump. Some of them aren't going to be. And then it talked about, you know, people taking it to the streets. So then you've got the anti-Trump people and the pro-Trump people duking it out. I mean, civil war kind of. It's very frightening sort of scenarios that, you know, I still. As a general optimist, I think are hopefully not going to happen. But as my dad once told me, hope is not a plan.
Well, and I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, it's funny.
I never heard that one.
How many people, I mean, have guns on, you know,
yeah.
on the Trump side? And if he tell somebody to do something, there's probably at least 40% that will do it. And that's pretty frightening.
I mean, the FEMA Act that was put in place so that we could deal with national emergencies would technically allow an executive, the president in this case, to suspend the Constitution. And it's actually happened before. I mean, habeas corpus was suspended during the Civil War. Obviously, we had the internment under FDR of Japanese, which was terrible.
And we have internment right now.
And we do. People are in cages at the border.
Yeah. I mean, people in cages, children, and they're, you know, separated from their parents. They don't know where their parents are, and they probably will never see their parents again. I mean, this is happening today. And I just don't, and, you know, and women's rights are being taken away.
Oh, my God, Alabama.
And what happened in Alabama.
It's absolutely horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, even, you know, some Republicans are coming out against it, but they helped create this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for all these years, they've been, you know, shoving down our throats, women, what we can and we can't do, and we have just gone backwards. And it's going to,
I don't think it'll be enforceable. The governor even said that. But she was very clear about how this is a step to undermine and reverse Roe v. Wade. I'm somewhat optimistic that Justice Roberts won't do that. He's shown, to the chagrin of Trump, obviously, that he can be a bit independent. And that he does, he has committed to, at least he's committed previously, to understanding the precedent of Roe v. Wade and not wanting to overturn that. So I'm hopeful that when it comes down to it, it'll be a 5-4 decision to uphold Roe v. Wade. But it's possible they won't even take up the case.
May not take up the case, but if it's a 5-4,
that's chilling. Yeah.
That's
really
chilling.
Trump gets another term because, you know, it was a close election and we are pretty sure that there was some, monkey business going on, so we can't declare this a valid election. I've already heard people suggesting that he should get another 2 years because 2 years of his presidency robbed by the Mueller investigation. So we live in a precarious
It's frightening times. It really is frightening.
And staying positive.
Look at the stock market, what happened this week.
I know.
I mean, he makes a decision. You know, we talked about this recently about how tariffs have hurt your business.
Yeah, it's terrible, actually. It's really bad.
And, you know, and I didn't realize that Walmart actually bought food out of China, and that's where they're selling.
Some people don't understand how tariffs work.
There's no good thing about Walmart, in my opinion.
I think the only good thing in this case is that it may affect Trump voters. Maybe they'll say, hey,
they
Trump,
may be the low-price leader, but they treat their employees horribly.
Yeah.
You know, we have to subsidize their health care and food stamps in some cases.
Yeah. How's that?
That's a whole new show.
You could add a tax on all Walmart
stuff. No, it's frightening how comments can completely change the economy.
But what I like about Daily Axe and Carrie was the amazing amount of positivity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the idea is like, you know what? You can't let people that don't believe in this stuff, ruin your mindset. You just have to go forward with your action. But we do have to vote. And we have to be very clear to stand up to people that are working against this stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens because 2020 is right around the corner. I'm listening, hearing what people are saying, but I'm not hearing anybody saying, I'm really going to take action and get involved this time. Because some people that didn't get involved in the last election because they don't really like to do phone calling, they don't really want to do texting, they don't want to do walking, they'll put a sign in their front yard and that's about all that they'll do. I'm really hoping that, these last 3 years, they're shaken by Trump.
I think a lot of people really didn't think he could win. And a lot of people also were voting. People that did vote for Trump, I think a lot of them were voting for the devil they didn't know, and now they know. So I'm hoping that things get better.
And
but it's important to have a good
opportunity. He still has a lot of followers. That's what's frightening.
Well, I'm sick not of as talking many about him. I don't want to talk about him. Let's save it for the two mooks and a mic.
Exactly.
They like to do the
Teresa Barrett made a really good point, too. She said we need to just focus on our community, do what we can here.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of our community.
We want to make sure we don't have our head in the sand.
Exactly. No,
yeah.
I'm going to make an announcement.
Okay.
I'm going to talk just a second about a benefit concert, which is being held on Monday, the 25th. That's the Monday that's coming up. It's a benefit concert for KPCA right here in Petaluma.
Oh, wow.
The event will take place at the Lagunitas Brewing Company, and the event starts at 5:30, and you can get tickets, $20 in advance for adults, $25 at the door, and kids are $10 advance, $15 door. And what that price will get you is admission to the event. The entertainment will be our own DJ Saeed spinning some vinyl for you, followed by The Grain. And it also includes dinner, which is catered by Senor Sisig, which is a very popular food truck out of San Francisco.
And this is on the 20th.
And this is on the 25th. I'm sorry, the 20th.
The 20th. You said the 25th.
You know what I'm thinking?
You're freaking me out.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
First I'm going, you're doing two in the same week? That would be really weird.
No, the 25th is Sons of Champlain. I
talked about
that last night. I talked about that last night.
It's definitely the 20th. It's Monday.
Monday the 20th is the KPCA fundraiser. Lagunitas Brewing Company. Get your tickets at kpca.fm, or you can come to the station at 205 Keller Street. Or you can go to the Petaluma Mail Depot and see Mo, and she has tickets there for you as well.
I think I will go down right after.
I think you
always
should.
And get my tickets.
Always good to see Mo.
Mo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotta see more Mo.
We love Maureen. Everybody loves our Mo. Okay, so that is the one
announcement.
You guys have anything to announce? Oh. Guess what? There is no time to announce
we
anything.
Have
nope, I don't
we're
have
announcing the end of the show.
Because look through the window. There's two.
There they are.
We're announcing.
Two mooks are out there. They're on their way in. So I want to steer everybody to our website, insidepetaluma.com. All of our past shows are there for you to listen to in the archives. And like our Facebook page, KPCA Inside Petaluma. And we will see you next week at 11.
Dankeschön.
See ya.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks.
KPCA, LP,